Mishnah on Pirkei Avos, it says there are 48 Kinyani Torah, because 48 is Gematria Moach, so it's a Gematria Cham, so it's a Gematria Gila. My daughter's name is Gila, she's Gematria 48, so I always thought that'd be funny that she was the 48 Kinyani Torah. So in order to be Kona Torah, you have to do these 48 Kinyanim. In order to acquire an object, you need to make the Kinyan. So Chazal say that in order to acquire Torah, you have to do the 48 Kinyani Torah. Rav Aaron Cutler says, if you don't know the Kinyanim, then how are you going to get Torah? But nobody really knows the Kinyanim. We just sort of sit in the base medrash and we make sure that everything that the rabbi says goes into our notebook so that our notebook knows all the material. Shalom, Rabbi Baruch. Nice to see you. So Rav Simon says, anyone here know Rav Simon? So he says, you guys. So he says that sometimes it goes straight from the Rebbe's mouth onto your notebook and it doesn't stop in your brain. Right? It also should make a little stop in your brain. So in order to be Kona, it's not enough to write notes and learn. You have to know the 48 Kinyani Torah. So we're not going to do all 48. That's why we have the 48 days of Omer, really 49. On the 49th day, you're supposed to chazer the first 48. And we're just going to do the last one. We'll start at the end. By the way, I always say it's a schooler. You know, you want to show people you're really learning well. Make sure, second Seder, I don't know why they don't really have necessarily second Seder unless you're finished and you're just studying for your CPA, like everybody I've met tonight. But if you're studying, let's say, night Seder, so do Bava Kama, open up to Kuf Tes Vav. Everyone's thinking, but you're only starting Kuf Yadal. So we'll start with the 48th, and then people will think that we did the first 47. So what's the 48th Kinyani Torah? Kinyan of the Kinyani Torah. So everybody knows HaOmer Dover B'Shem Omro. If you really, really want to be a good learner, make sure to be Omer Dover B'Shem Omro. So who said that, by the way? Who said Kol Omer Dover B'Shem Omro? Maybe Gulam. So that's the old joke that nobody really knows who said it, even though you have to say it in the person's name. So HaOmer Dover B'Shem Omro HaLamadta Shekol Omer Dover B'Shem Omro Maybe Gula La'olam. If you say something in the name of the person who said it, you bring redemption to the world. So everyone know how to, they always have these social activism. You want to save the world, you want to bring a tikkun to the world. So how are you really going to bring a tikkun to the world? Don't do one of these YU programs and help unfortunate kids in Russia and give them Yiddishkeit and bread. But rather, make sure that you say a Dvar Torah in the name of the person who said it. You know, I was on a date with a girl and she went to MMY and she told me the name of her rabbi. So this is the way to bring Gula to the world. So how's that going to bring Gula to the world? If you say a Dover B'Shem Omro, maybe Gula Lolam. And how's that a Kinyan Torah? How does that help you Kona Torah? If you say something in someone else's name, now you're going to get Torah. So one of the Kinyanei Torah is Shmias Ozen. If you really listen, that's, I understand. If you listen, it's a Kinyan Torah. One is, you have to be Oeves HaTochachos. That's also a question whether it's a Kinyan Torah. But it's interesting how many of the Kinyanei Torah have nothing to do with the intellect. Usually we associate learning with the intellect. But to acquire Torah, you don't only have to use your intellect, it has a lot to do with your midos. So a lot of the Kinyanei Torah have to do with midos. Simcha, a lot of stuff like that. In any event, Amar Rebbe Elazar, it's a Gemara in Megillah also. We're preparing for Purim, by the way. I forgot to bring my funny yarmulke, but you can just assume that I have one. Amar Rebbe Elazar, Amar Rebbe Chanina, that's the one who said it. Kol Omer Dover B'Shem Omer, maybe Gula Olam. Where do we see that from? Esther told the king in the name of Mordechai. What happened? So there was this this guy named Big Son, and there was another guy named Seresh, and they were planning to kill the king. And Esther told the king in the name of Mordechai that they were planning this evil evil, and he brought it down in his book. And then one night he was suffering from insomnia. So today it wouldn't have happened. That's why it was mamish and nace that Purim happened so many years ago. Today, if you can't sleep, you just go on Facebook. You know what I mean? You start chatting people and you're texting and watching movies. But back then, they didn't have anything to do. They were bored out of their brains. So what did he do in the middle of the night when he couldn't sleep? So he said, bring me my history book and tell me a little bit about what happened. And they told him there was this Jewish guy named Morty and he saved you. And then the whole Purim story happened. Lahidim might serve as Simcha v'sasam v'kar, and everybody was happy. So he said, who can I do something great to? And then Haman said, it must be me, because Haman was a Balgaiva. And then he said, okay, so take Mordechai, put him on the horse, and travel around town. So therefore you see that because Esther said the name of Mordechai, Mordechai was saved, and Gula was brought to the world. So just parenthetically, sometimes people write parenthetically, but you don't have to be writing, you don't have to write parenthetically, you can just put parentheses. So the Maharal says, because if you Omer, Dover B'Shem Omro, then you go to the source. So if you go to the source, you bring Gula L'Olam. That's the idea. I always like to quote the Maharal, that even though the Maharal rarely quotes me, but there are two reasons for that, and one of them is that he lived long before me. There's another much better reason. So he says you should always attribute things to the source. So if everything that happens in life you always attribute to the source, then you're going to bring Geula to the world. What's the idea of Geula? Right, the Maharal talks about it in the first parak of Netzach. Oh, it's two. So he says that the idea of Gala is we didn't see Hashem, so he sends us into exile, and there we have to be Megala, that there's a Hashem, and then you put the Aleph in there, and the Aleph is the Alufa Shel Olam, and that's the Gaul, so it's really the same thing, Gula and Galus. But the idea of Galus is Legalus, to be Megala. You can look there and see, he says it much better than I do. I'm just giving you probably what I'm saying says in a different sefer. But that's the idea of Geula. Geula is you put the Aleph, which is Hashem, the Alufa Shel Olam, into the Galus, and you reveal Hashem. And if that's what the Geula is, then of course if you're Omer Dabar Shem, Rami Geula, but that's really not what I wanted to say. What I wanted to ask you is the following question. It says in the Medrash that if you don't say something B'Shem Omro, then you're a thief. Very common today, by the way. They call it plagiarism. Very common. People, we have to write. You want to write a sefer. So you want to write a good sefer. So if I want to write a good sefer, I can say my own thoughts. Or I can look into some sefer that I hope nobody saw and write his thoughts. But sometimes Rabbi Yitzchak Yosef, the Rishon LeZion, he tells a story about his father. That one time he opened up a sefer and he said, "This looks very, very familiar." So it turns out that he just copied word for word what it said in the Abi Omer, and he just forgot to mention that he had taken it. And then when his father saw this, he said, "Don't say anything. You know, we don't have to publicize all the plagiarizers." But there are a lot of people. So some people do it when they write svarim, and they do it also in the secular world all the time. I'm saying they have websites, don't they? That if you want to write a paper, you could just take somebody else's paper. Yeah, you hope that your professor doesn't go to the same website. So, but he does, because when he has to give his classes and his lectures, then he also takes it from a different professor. So they have professors stealing websites, and they have students stealing websites. So in today's world, it's really very, very, very common. So there's also Nasach Hashem. Not only in the Torah world is plagiarizing, but it's a chiddush that in the Torah world, because why would somebody want to plagiarize Torah? Why would you be dishonest when it comes to Torah? So there are various reasons. One of them is to get a good shidduch. In any event, so your guy wants to write a gappa sefer, so he copies from somebody else, and then he presents it as his own Torah, and there's actually one very famous personality in Eretz Yisrael today who's, you know, that's one of the things. He wrote a book, and he's, you know, basically he was just lifting it from other people, and they said, "You're lifting it from other people." He said, "No, but I wrote in the Hakadamah that this was gathered from other places." But it's really not such a nice thing to do. And the Medrash says that you're a thief. Zadabal ma'od lo tov. So it's usher to steal Torah from other people. It's usher to steal it and write it. It's usher to steal it and say it. I know that my Rebbe Shlita, who this Torah, by the way, is coming from, so I'll be the... I heard this year from him maybe 10, 11, 12 years ago. So his sons told me that the people write left. He says, "Good Torah, Baruch Hashem," and people just steal it and they say it in their own name, and then they get all of the accolades. So it's unfortunately all too common a phenomenon today, and it's usher. So what's the Medrash really? What's the Mishnah really saying? That if you do something that's not usher, you're maybe Geula Lolam. In other words, generally, we want it to be something positive. You did something nice, you did something good, you did something holy, you did something elevated. Here it's really saying no. If you're not a thief, you bring Geula Olam. That can't be what it means. But again, you understand what I'm saying? I know it's late and guys are tired and you're looking at me. I'm so happy so many people came. I'm really, really surprised. I'm very, very flattered. Thank you. In any event, so that's it. And it's even Paschal Halacha in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says, "Kol she'eino over domer b'shem omro, over belav." Right, it's your over. You're not showing enough love. You have to. You're mamish chayev to say it. If you hear a Torah in somebody's name, you have to say, "I heard from so and so." So why is this such a great milah that in that schus you're maybe gul olam? Kol mi she'eino gozel mechavero maybe gul olam. That's really what it's saying, but that can't be what it's saying. So A, we have to understand what the great milah of Omer Dorshei Omer is. We have to understand why and why it's one of the Kinyanei Torah. So I want to share with you a beautiful idea of the Alter Rebbe of Gur. You know, there was a Rav, his name was Rav Avram Mordechai Alter. My son is named after him. His last name is an Alter, but his first two names are Mordechai, Avram Mordechai. So he was the Sfas Emes' son. The Sfas Emes died in 1905, And then his son, the Imre Emes, Rav Avraham Mordechai, he took over. He was Rav until 1948. And he was he had tens of thousands of Hasidim in Poland, and then the Nazis wiped them out. He escaped to Eretz Yisrael, and they rebuilt, really, his son rebuilt the Hasidus, the Beis Yisrael. But there's a sefer of his letters. So he writes a letter to his son, the Beis Yisrael, a big chiddush. It's actually his son's yahrzeit right now, Tezayin Adar was the Pnei Menachem, the previous Ger Rebbe's yahrzeit. So he says, "Adam is yagiel mechtavi bepurim." He said, "I want to tell you a chiddush I thought of menyanei diyoma." So he says, "We learn in the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos that our Omer Davar b'shem Omer, maybe Gula la'olam, but Omer Estel Melch b'shem Mordechai." What's the tremendous mila that you're not attributing to yourself your friend's wisdom, that you're not stealing from your friend? He says the Makabe Patish. You guys are learning Shabbos now, so you know what Makabe Patish is. The final blow, of the Mem Ches Kinyanei Torah, is that your Omer Davar B'Shem Omro. What's the big deal? V'lechein Efsher, and how does it help you be Kona Torah? V'lechein Efsher Al Pi Amavur B'Gemara. Ki Anigle L'Navi B'Ruach HaKodesh Node Gam L'Naviyam Acherim. It says in Sanhedrin, Peites Amid Beis, that if a Navi hears something B'Ruach HaKodesh, the other Naviyam will also know this. K'masha Kasabti L'Chem K'var Sheshamati. I already told you that I heard from somebody, and then he writes in parentheses, I don't remember who I heard it from, so I can't say it b'shem Omro. Lefarish b'zeh divrei ha-medrash. He says there's a medrash that says that on the last day before Moshe died, he went to the left of Yoshua. They went into Ohel Moed. The Amid Ha'anan came down. It was mafsik between Yoshua and Moshe. And then when the Amid Ha'anan went away, when the cloud went away, Moshe went to Yoshua. And he said, what did the Dibor say to you? What did God say to you? So Yoshua said back to him, Kishahaya hadibor nigla elecha, yodea hayisi mamadaber imach. So some people learn the Medrash that Yoshua was saying to Moshe, that's the Pashup Shah in the Medrash, what? When God spoke to you, I knew what God was saying. So what are you asking me, what God said to me now? That's the Pashup Shah. But the Imre Emes says, Dahainu binichusa. He was saying, what's your question? When Hashem was Megal himself to you, I knew what he was saying. So now that Hashem is speaking to me, you know what he's saying. So what's your question? So you see from here that a Navi knows when God reveals himself to one Navi, another Navi knows about it. V'lachein kan, when it says, Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemra, we know that Esther was said, Baruch HaKodesh Vayivada HaDavar LaMordechai. So, what Mordechai knew, Esther also knew. The Gemara in Megillah says that Esther is one of the seven Nevios. So if Mordechai knew something, Mordechai knew what Big Son and Seresh were planning, then Esther also knew. Now why did Mordechai have to tell her? He didn't know she was a Neviah. So he told her, but she really knew. And therefore, if she already knew, she could have said it in her own name to the king. She didn't have to say it in the name of Mordechai. The Rebbe gives a mushal. He says, let's say you're invited. He gave the mushal of a different yeshiva, but I want to use my favorite yeshiva. You're invited to give a shir klali to Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yitzchak Elchanan. And you know that to this shir klali, all the guys in the kol elyon are going to come, and the guys in the kol tachton are going to come, and the guys in the, like, they don't say, when you fly, they don't say you're flying third class. They say you're flying economy, but it's really third class. They first, and the business, not going to say second class, they call it business, but it's really second class, and then you're flying third class. So if they have a Kol Elyon, what does that make the other Kol Elyons, right? But we don't say that. So the guys in the Kol Elyon are going to come, and the guys in this Kol El, the Gluck Kol El, and the Schottenstein Kol El, and all the guys with the big money Kol El, and they're all going to come, and all the guys in YP are going to come, and all the guys in BP are going to come, and BMP, and YPP, and ODD, and ADD, and ADHD, and you're going to have everybody there. And then you're also going to have in the Ezra's Nashim, you're going to have all the Stern girls, and you know they're watching, because if you say Shir Klali afterwards, all the Shadchanim and Shadchaniyos are going to be getting phone calls, and who's this boy, and how can I get a date with him? It's going to be very, very good for you. You're going to be able to choose a good girl with a PhD, right? We're saying all the Rashi Tevas, you know what a PhD is. Papa has dough, right? So that's always a good profession to go into. So you get this. So you're giving a shiur 5,000 people, and you prepared very, very, very well for the shiur, very, very well for the shiur. And you know it's going to be one night, let's say 10:30 after Maariv, and the whole olam is coming into the room, and you're just waiting. But you know you want to show that you're a chashuv person, so you're learning as you're waiting, because that's what important people do. They take advantage of their time, and you just you start leafing through a little booklet that you see floating around over there, and all of a sudden this chiddush that you worked on for a month and a half, you see it there. Some guy wrote. Some guy in Bnei Brak, they have a kol in Bnei Brak, and they want to raise money, so they write the little articles, and then they send it around, and then this way they try to show people that they're learning, and they raise money. So you see that chiddush in his name. Some guy wrote it, but you thought of it yourself. So now you have a big test. When you say to this big crowd now, 93,000 people in MetLife Stadium, so you're saying your chiddush, we keep getting bigger and bigger, so you're saying your chiddush to all of these people, are you going to say that I was thinking that you can answer the Ktzos's question that everybody left it at Tzarech Iyun, every Rosh Yeshiva since the Ktzos left it at Tzarech Iyun, nobody could answer. I was thinking that we can answer like this and see the whole world shake? Or are you going to say, I saw that there was a guy in Bnei Brak, a 22-year-old guy in Kollel over there, and I saw in a little booklet that he gave the following answer. What's more impressive, if I can use the modern parlance, what's going to impress the chicks? You know what I'm saying? Obviously, if you say it in your own name. Obviously, you want it. You don't want to say it in someone else's name. And it's if you say it in your own name, are you being honest? Honest to God, you really thought of it. Let's say you say it in the other person's name. And what happened? What happened to you? What happened to your ego? By the way, if anyone's taping this, then I put my hand now and I made like an airplane that's crashing. Yeah, it's no videotape. So what happened is that it stopped being about your ego and it became about the Torah. What does it matter? I always wonder to myself, so I was thinking and I thought and I had a question. Somebody once brought me a sefer of his, and he said more than any other word in the book was ani niral ani usdaiti vani chashavti vani ekshetzi vani tiratzti vani 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 vani. The book would have been half the size if he just would have taken out all the anis. So sometimes, not by us, Chas Shalom, but by some people, Torah becomes a matter of the ego. How smart I am, and what question, and that's also why guys get into have crises sometimes. They get down on themselves. What I didn't ask a good question in Shir, and he asked a better question. He understands better, and he got a better grade. And it's not about Hashem, and it's not about Torah, and it's not about Ruchnius. It's about the ego. But let's say you say it just in somebody else's name, or you made it up. Once I was zochet to write a sefer, so we used to have a guy in yeshiva, those who went to yeshiva with me, the same yeshiva in the old city. So there was a guy named Nir, a Yemenite guy, a tall Yemenite guy used to hang around the yeshiva. So I went and said, Nir, atayodea. You know, he was talking, he liked my sefer. So I said, Ishti katvata sefer. He said, Bemet? So he was so excited about it. And this, how could I deny it? But Bemet my Ishti, even though they always write, I'd like to thank my wife. Without her, I couldn't have done it. But the truth is that without him, she couldn't have gotten that sefer out either. I'm saying it's always a part, meaning he says, without her, I couldn't have sat down to write the sefer. But if not for him, she couldn't have written the sefer either, right? So they needed each other. So you give somebody else the credit, and then it stops being about you. The Chasim Sofer used to say to his students, he used to say, do me a favor. You can say all of my chedushim in your name. Just don't say your chedushim in my name. You know what I mean? Don't make me look bad. You're going to say your stuff in my name. Say my stuff in your name. So it doesn't matter who said it. It doesn't matter who thought it. What does it matter? What matters is Hashem's Torah. So if you're Domer, Dover, B'Shem, Omro, and that's what Esther did. She could have said it her own name because she knew just as well as Mordechai. But she put her ego out of the picture. It wasn't what she did for the king. And she said it in Mordechai's name. That's the Einfall of the Holy Imre Emes. She had Tovas Ayin b'Mordechai, and that's the great Shevach. V'chein b'kinyan Torah. She'isa she'tamar chacham tzarech shlo yelo Ayin rabbi mishnatso shel chavero. It says in Avos Rabbi Natsan that you shouldn't have an Ayin run your friend's learning. And therefore, if you have some sort of chiddush, and your friend also thought of it, so you say it in his name. Or if you can say two divrei Torah, You can say your great idea. It's always much more fun to say what you thought of, right? You can say your great idea, or you can say your friend's great idea. You say your friend's great idea, and you say it in your friend's name, and you went on a few shvachim also about how wonderful your friend is. And this way, that's the great maila. It's not about not stealing. It's pashut. Everybody knows that you're not allowed to steal somebody else's Torah. What it means is that even if you thought of the Torah yourself, but if you saw somebody else said it, you don't have to take credit for it. So there's a Gemara in Baba Kama. It's a long Gemara. We're just going to read the end. The end of the Gemara says that if you're Moser Atzma Lomasal Divrei Torah, Ain Omrim Dvar Alacha Bishmo. That if you're Moser Nefesh, the whole Gemara about David and Baba Kama Daf Samach. So you can look it up. That's why I said the source, not to show you how smart I was. Also, it says that on the page here. So if you say a Dvar Torah B'Shem somebody else, if you say if you're Moser Atzma Al Divrei Torah, then the Torah is not going to be said in your name. In that schus, the Torah is going to be said stam without your name. So the Chedusha Arim says, what's so great about that? If I'm Moser Nefesh for Torah, then Torah is not going to be said in my name. There's just going to be a Torah that's said, but I'm not going to be identified with the Torah. Why would that be a schar? I'm so Moser Nefesh for Torah, that now Torah is not said in my name. So what does the Chedusha Arim say? What happens if someone's Moser Nefesh for Torah? What's their relationship to Torah? They're nullifying themselves. That's what it means, you're Moser Nefesh. You're nullifying yourself for something higher than you, for something godly, for God's Torah. So if you're on that level, that you're Moser yourself for the Torah, then what's the greatest schar you can get? That when Torah is stated, it's not in your name. Because you're Moser yourself. What you're saying is I don't care about my own ego. You know, they say in the academic world, publish or perish. Either you're writing academic articles and you're showing everybody how smart you are and all of your new findings, and there's a ton of plagiarism and stealing in the academic world, and also they make things up. Anything you can do to put your name on an article and on a book, and if you're Moser Nefesh for Torah, you're saying, it has nothing to do with me. I just want the Torah to be perpetuated and publicized, and the Torah's name should be made great. Lahagdil Torah Lahadira. Right, that's what they say. I heard from Moshe Shapiro in Rabbi Yerushalayim that he says, Rav Simon always quotes from Moshe Shapiro from the library, but I quote from Moshe Shapiro in Yerushalayim because they don't let me into the library here because I don't have a YUID card. But I go in sometimes with boys. They bring me in, but otherwise I don't get in. So he says that, what does it say about the Dor HaFlaga at the end of Parashas Noach? They said, Nasa Lanu Shem. Let's make a name for ourselves. And that's really what the Western world is all about. It's about making a name for yourself and becoming important and becoming famous and becoming big. And what does Avram, what does it say about Avram Avinu in the next parsha? Vayikra b'shem Hashem kel olam. He was trying to make a name for God. That's the question. Are we going to make a name for ourselves or make a name for God? So the biggest schar you can give somebody who's Moser Nefesh for Torah is that Torah shouldn't be said in his name. So there's two amazing stories, and then after the stories we'll wrap it up. There was a big Rav who lived in Poland, died 109 years ago, called the Sfas Emes. So we've been talking about his son, talking about her from the son, but there's a Maaseh story with the Sfas Emes that my Rebbe heard from the person who was there. So he was an old man already when he told over the story, but this had happened many years before, that the Sfas Emes used to be Makabel Kol. He was a big Rebbe in Europe. People were coming and see him. So one time, Rev Elia Meir, what was his last name? From Lodz, Meizels. So he once came to see the Sfas Emes. And he wasn't a chassid; he was a very big gaon. And Reb Elia Chaim, not Reb Elia Meir, Reb Elia Chaim. Reb Elia Meir was from Telz. Telz wasn't Lodz, but they both same language. I mean, one was Lithuanian, one was Poland, but it was both Yiddish. That's what the Jews used to speak. So Reb Elia Chaim, he was a big gadol in Lodz and Poland. So he went to see the Sfas Emes, and he went in. He went in for 2 minutes, and then he left. And then somebody else came in, and this was the person telling the story. And when he was with the Sfas Emes, the Sfas Emes said he had come in to see, he wanted to do business with the Ger Chassid, and he wanted to see if this person was honest. So Sfas Emes said he's honest. And he said, I want you to accompany Rav Elia Chaim home. I want you to go on the train with him. Stop. So afterwards he finds the Rav, and he goes back on the train with him, and he says to the Rav, he says, you know, the Rav doesn't look so happy, what's wrong? So he said, I'll tell you the truth. They kidnapped a few Jews, and I had to do Pidyon Shavuyim. So I borrowed a lot of money to redeem these captives, and now I needed to pay back the money. So I went to the Sfas Emes to ask him for help. There are a lot of rich Ger Chassidim, Adayom Hazeh, and I wanted to ask him if he could get his rich Ger Hasidim to help me pay back this loan that I had borrowed in order to redeem these Jewish captives. And you know what the Rebbe said to me? He said to me in one sentence, the Sfasemis spoke very, very bekitzer. If you ever learn Sfasemis ala Shas, so he writes very, very bekitzer. It's kedai. It's a good Eitzah. You're learning Shabbos. To learn Sfasemis is unbelievable pshat in the Gemara. So he told me in one sentence, he said that Mahat nisht tzutzalin, Borkman nisht. If you don't have to pay back, you don't borrow. How's it? Can you imagine? He does pidyon shvuyim. He redeems these captives. He borrows money. He goes out on a limb. He goes to the Rav Rebbe for help. And the Rebbe said, what are you borrowing money for if you don't have to pay back? How's it? See you later. So what is he going to do? He's going to, you know, jump on him and start choking him, saying, oh, we got one. That was it. That was what the Rebbe said. That was what the Rebbe said. So he was very, very upset. Anyway, they get to the train station in Lodz, and there were a few Ger Hasidim there waiting to meet Rebbe Yochaim with checks. And he said, what happened? What happened? What happened was, when he left the room, the Sfasema sent a telegram to his Hasidim in Lodz, and he told them that Rebbe Yochaim is coming, and they should cover his debt. So what was the Sfasema trying to do? He could have said what I would have said. If I was a Rebbe of tens of thousands of Hasidim, I would say, I'll take care of it. I would hit my fat belly or my skinny belly. Tonight I put myself on the scale, 132. I don't have a scale in Israel. It's the only time I get to weigh myself is when I come to America. And every year I come back, it's always the same, more or less. Nothing. No middle linebacker for the New York Giants here. So the Sfasemis didn't want to take the credit himself. He could have said, Ani asader lecha, I'll take care of, I don't know if they spoke Hebrew then. I'll take care of everything for you. He didn't want to say that. He wanted to come across as if, I can't do anything to help you. Why? Because he didn't want to inflate his ego. Inflating your ego would have been, I'll take care of it. But in the end, he did take care of it. So that was one maisa. Another maisa is about his grandson. The grandson was Alev Simcha. So Alev Simcha was a big rabbi here in Yerushalayim. He was also a big businessman for us. He made a lot of money. And then after his brother was Nifter, he became rabbi. So he was also a big Talmud Chacham, obviously. Actually, an interesting story about the Leif Simcha, just as an aside, that to somebody once, the Beis Yisrael, when he was Rebbe, it was the previous Rebbe. So he said about the Leif Simcha, he was once walking with, I think it was the Kloisenberger, he was walking with another Rebbe in Netanya. There's a hotel there, the Galei Tzanz, that's where a lot of people stay in Netanya. So if you ever want to go to Netanya, they have a nice separate beach, a nice Kloisenberger Hasidim. So he said, you want to see what a tzaddik of my brother is? Look at this. So they went to the room where he was staying, and he said, look through the peephole. So he looked through the peephole, and there was a pile of svarim there, and he was sitting and he was shtagging away. So then they knock on the door, and he opens the door a minute later, and there are no svarim to be found. All there is on the table is a newspaper, the religious newspaper. So what did he do? He heard people were coming. So in other words, in order to show them that he wasn't learning, he put away his svarim. So what do I do when somebody knocks on my door? I quickly go to the shelf, and I run, I put a pile of sperm on the table, and I quickly open them all up, I put little place marks in them. I don't really do that. But in theory, if you want to show up, that's what you do. So anyway, so somebody once came to the Leif Simcha, and there was a Rebbe who was in the hospital, and he was staying in a room which was Shalol Lefi Chvodo. I understood there were some tznius problems that you had a lot of times in Israeli hospitals that are very nice to the Arabs, because the Arabs only want to make peace with us. So whenever an Arab gets sick, they go to a Jewish hospital. Can you imagine they had a hospital in Jenin or in Azar or somebody, you know, and like a Hasidish guy from Mea Sharim, you know, he goes to the hospital and all the Arabs take care of him and things. I'm not so sure he would end up, put it this way, when he would leave the hospital, he wouldn't be sick. Yes, anymore. That's for sure. That's probably because he wouldn't be alive, right? So they treat their Arab patients very, very nicely. So in the same room, they had maybe an Arab patient, and then everybody's, you know, coming to visit. And then maybe they had a Jewish patient, and the Arabs, you know, they wear tichels, and they cover their faces, and they cover everything. But the Jewish people don't always come, so it's nice. But kids are, they asked the Leif Simcha, since he has a lot of connections, if he could get this Rebbe a better room. So he said, you think I have a Professor Mayer, that was the head of the hospital, you think Professor Mayer listens to me? Like, what can I do to help? That was it. They were disappointed. They just asked help for this big rabbi. He wanted a good room, which is befitting the kavod of the tzaddik. And he said, what, I have an opinion that the professor is going to listen to me? And that was the end of the story. And he sent an apple. That's what rabbis do. They send an apple. I actually have an apple that I brought to, I was mesubik if I should mark it down on the thing when I marked down when I flew over that am I bringing fruit over from a foreign country? They didn't want any diseased fruit, but I decided my apple's a kosher fruit. I wrote no, and then I wrote in small letters that really I brought over a little couple of snacks for myself, because I always know that that's what they do everywhere. They always have small letters that nobody reads, but they agree to it, so therefore I wasn't really lying. In any event, so they brought the apple. They took the apple, and then they went to the hospital, and they found when they came to the hospital that he was transferred to a different room. And what had happened? What had happened was that he got on the phone, he called this professor, and he said, there's this and this rabbi, and can you please move him to a better room? So you see the same idea of not trying to take credit for yourself. So there's a lot more to say, but we'll just leave it at this. What's the Kenyan Torah? What's the Kenyan Torah? So there are two ways to learn Torah. One way to learn Torah is about the me. It's about to show people how smart I am, to feel good about myself, to give myself meaning. There could be many, many different reasons why we learn. But what's the real way to be Kona Torah? Torah is Das Hashem. In order to make room for Hashem, how do you make room for Hashem? You make less of yourself. Like it says, that if a person is gaiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ein aniva hu yicholim lador b'kfifa achas. There's no room in the world for me and him. If a person's arrogant, Hashem says, then I can't be here. So how do you bring Hashem in? The way to bring Hashem in, like it says in all the Sfarim, the less you make of yourself, the less of an ego you have, the more the godliness comes in. So a person wants to be Kona Torah. So Torah is Das Hashem. So how do you bring Hashem in? You bring Hashem in by making it's not about me. It's not about me. I'm totally mishabed my sechel, and I'm mishabed my goof, and I'm completely subordinating myself to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why Omer Dover B'Shem Omro is one of the Kinyani Torah. Because to be Kona Torah, it's not just enough to be really smart and to learn and to review, which is also very important, but it's even more important to realize that this is about not about me, and it's not about my ego, and it's not about what people are going to say about me or think about me. It's one thing. It's about trying to saturate myself with the knowledge of Hashem. That's why we're learning, and that's why we're doing mitzvahs, and that's why we're sitting in this room, and that's why we're alive. We're alive to try to get as much God as possible. And the more of our own ego and the ani, right? That's why the beginning of the Aseret Hadibros was Anochi Hashem Elokecha. That's what everything is about. The yisod of everything, of Kol HaTorah Kula, say all of the 613 mitzvahs are all encapsulated in that first dibra. If you get the Anochi Hashem, everything is about Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And the problem with our world is that people forget that something. Even I'm not talking about the secular world, even in the ruchnius world sometimes. People forget that sometimes, and I think that's this problem. A lot of the times people get down on themselves is because it's about me. I'm not as smart as I think I should be, and I'm not doing as well as I think I should be, and you know, what are people going to say about me, and what do people think about me? And it's not even a parsha in the Torah. It's not even a question to me. Our job is we're going for something bigger. So the biggest of the big is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You start with HaKadosh, that's the highest, and then you want to go a little bit lower, and you go to Klal Yisrael. It's not about me. It's not about what I want to do with my life and what's going to make me happy. You think of the klal, how can I help the klal? And then you go a little bit lower, and then you just think of the next guy, your roommate, your chavrusa, just what you could do to make somebody else happy. And the less you think about yourself and the less you're focused on yourself, just simply the happier person you'll be. Because that's why are people depressed? People are depressed because they're thinking about why their lives are miserable. But nobody's depressed when they're walking around trying to think about how to make other people happy. It's that simple. Somebody once wrote a letter to Lubavitcher Rebbe, Sosiyar Gen Eleinu, and he said, you know, they were depressed. He didn't give them any deep psychoanalysis. He said, just do three nice things for somebody every day. You know, just step out of yourself for a few minutes. Stop thinking about yourself. The whole world doesn't revolve around you. There are many other people. There are many other problems. Girl dumped you. So she dumped you. She's going to dump the next guy the next time, and you're going to dump the next girl the next. It's not the end of the world. You didn't understand Shir today. So you didn't understand Shir today. Why are we upset when we didn't understand Shir today? Are we upset because we have less Das Hashem in our brains? We're less connected to the Rabbonu Shalom? Or because we think we're an idiot? So I personally, when I don't get something, I'm upset because I think I'm an idiot. And what's the raya? The raya is that when my friend doesn't understand something, it doesn't bother me nearly as much. Why? Because if it was about knowing Hashem and being close to Hashem, so then it should be the same. What's the difference? It should be. But if it's about my ego, then if I understand, that's really all that matters. So That's the Yesod of Purim, and that's the Kinyan Torah, and that's the maybe Gula L'Olam. So I want to give everybody here a bracha that we should all be Zachem Yitzhak Hashem to uproot this terrible illness, this terrible, terrible psychological illness that so many people suffer from, which is called narcissism and egomania and all these terrible things that the Western world and our culture tells us that we have to be. And we should just forget about it. And we should forget about the ich and the I and the me and the how great I am. And we should just try to think all day the Rabbono Shlalom and other people and making the world a better place. And the more we do that, first of all, the better we'll feel about ourselves. That's going to be a side benefit. But the more we'll do that, the more we'll bring Gula L'Olam. 2, 3, 4. If the words Hashem Bezimra, if the words Hashem Bezimra, Baal Levana Birnana, Levana Birnana. If the words Hashem Bezimra, if the words Hashem Bezimra, Baal Levana Birnana, Levana Birnana. Hey, nine, 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 nine. It's odd though, you're allowed to sing for one more minute, I promise. We'll be Litvox in a minute. I thank everybody for coming, really.